a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street. This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance. Dell's going to be joining us a little bit later out here at Cowboys and Indians. And Haas is here, and he's ready to cook you breakfast. He's up. He's usually not ready
is a relative term.
Well, now wait. See, he had to get up at 4. He lives out in San Antonio. Uh-huh. So he had to drive in here from East San Antonio, and he had to come in. He says, you know what? As long as I'm here, if anybody in the neighborhood, 1901 Taft and Westgrave, basically. If you're in this neighborhood, if you haven't come by Cowboys and Indians before, you need to come on by and hang out with us today. We're here all day long as we get ready for the Sweet 16 here. Great place to watch the game. Great little bar here. It'll be packed in here. The food, you've got the Cowboy side, you've got the Indian side. And it's he's got all kinds of beers.
And I know there are people who are going to say, culturally insensitive. I am not going. No, actually, it is Indian food.
It's Indian food.
Yes. So not culturally insensitive. It's a brand of fusion and a combination of food.
Yeah.
I think I don't hear.
You're
like,
now. You just
anything.
Turned his off there.
Yeah.
That's me.
There we go.
That's me. Okay.
We're talking.
Let me turn it up just a hair. There we go. Anyway, so
I have some
it's,
food. Joel. One time brought me.
Oh, you did?
It was like a quesadilla on naan bread, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Naan bread's basically the best thing that's ever been. A buttery naan bread is the best thing you can
is
have
really?
On the planet. Are
well,
you kidding me?
Barry and Joel come in here, apparently. They do that a lot.
Right.
But now he gets to meet, you know, the good guys at the station. You know.
And, the bad guys?
No, well, I didn't know. I didn't say necessarily they were bad guys, okay? But now he gets to meet. You know, the rest of us here.
Yeah.
And I live around the corner here. This is awesome. So I'm going to be coming back in here when I'm drinking again. If he has Coors Light and.
Well, there's.
Coors Light.
Well, do you not drink any hard alcohol anymore?
Oh, no. Yeah, every once in a while. But I get.
What is wrong? What
I get too
you?
Crappy. I get too crap faced.
What happened? What
I get
wrong?
Too crap faced.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Then slow down a little.
So I like to drink beer all day.
Can you not control yourself?
I'm the tortoise and the hare, okay?
Okay.
Except I'm the tortoise.
You know why?
I will beat you going slow all day.
You know I had to stop on the beer thing? It's the slow roll into a dull headache that I just like.
As opposed to the room spinning?
Well, now, I can tell you this. When I'm drinking my vodka tonics,
the
effervescence, which are the bubbles,
they can
deliver it pretty quickly.
That's what they do.
Where you're like, wow, this is gone. What happened to this? And I got to check myself. After one's gone in about 6 minutes, I got to be like, okay.
Well, I'd say that after about, you know, a case of beer's gone. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, see?
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, after one, I just say, that was awfully quick.
Yeah.
Let's slow your roll or you're going to be... You know, on Deadspin. Sports talk host and draft analyst Lance Zierlein went into Cowboys and Indians and was rubbing naan bread all over himself.
Oh, he was in a
night.
culturally offensive place,
yeah,
Cowboys
like, and
Indians.
And then I got to go explain to him, no.
No, it's Indian food.
Yeah, stop.
Right.
Stop Deadspin.
Do you think
stop.
That's why Raheel's not here is because he's Pakistani? Yeah, see?
I don't. Is he not coming in today?
I don't let those people in.
Yeah,
here.
It's locked.
Yeah.
The door's locked. You're good.
There's a chance. There's a chance that's why Raheel took the day off today.
Wow.
I think he's off tomorrow too. And we're at Prime Social. Back at Prime Social with a little. How about another little tournament tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about doing better this time. I didn't do bad last time.
Who lasted the longest from the station?
You did.
Thank you.
I think you were top 19 last
saw. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's the deal.
How much money did you win?
Zero.
Then you won the same amount that I did.
So here's the deal on that, though. And here's the deal. And this is my theory on stuff. You got to make putts. You got to hit free throws and baskets.
You got to catch cards.
You got to score runs late.
Oh.
You got to catch cards.
Yeah.
If you don't catch cards, guess what? You're not, oh, I'm the greatest player in the world. Guess what? Somebody's going in with you, and they're going to beat you. You got to catch cards.
I think more than just catching cards, I think it's a matter of you got to, I don't know if it's catch cards, you got to be on the right hand. Because you got to take down a score at some point that gives you the cushion to kind of fade when the blinds start going up.
Well, that's it. That's it. And you're forced into playing because your blinds are low.
Yeah.
So you got to catch cards at that point. If you don't, you're out. Because otherwise, the best players in the world would always be at the final table. And guess what it is? It's usually guys you never heard of.
Yeah, but when they're at – that's when there's the huge tournaments. At ones that are a little bit smaller, the best players usually do pretty well because they know how to like, you can't let – there's nothing better than limping in with a 7-8 connected because they don't see you coming.
Well,
you're allowed to limp in.
That's right. Well, no, even if you go in and you got the nuts to play, here's the deal, Lance, is that even in those tournaments, today's player has gigantic balls and they're playing. They ain't scared of anything anymore. It ain't like, oh, I'm scared. You're a good, really good player, really? Because I'm going in with this.
Well, it's not even that they're good players. I think
they're catching cards.
Dumb. Well, they're also not that smart. They will play. Like, they don't play statistics. These aren't math wizards. They're playing dumb cards, and they can't. You know, anybody has a chance to catch on the flop. They're staying in pre-flop with the hands that they shouldn't, so you don't see where they're coming from.
That's true, too. That's true, too. They don't care. They just don't care.
They can't be bluffed because
they
sometimes
just don't
they're
care.
Not smart enough.
No,
yeah.
They just don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we want you to come out. Today, if you haven't been here before, cool, neat little place.
Yep.
And the food is supposed to be – we'll find out, and we will eat here and tell you
on
about
the air,
eating.
While we're doing the show.
So while we're doing the show, we'll
absolutely.
Eat here.
We're going to hook you up.
And so we want you to come on out and hang out with us so you don't have to listen and hear us talk about the
this
food.
This is a great area.
It really
you
is.
Got a lot of good restaurants around.
It's
you live
awesome.
Right here?
I live
in this area?
6 minutes
Thanks
from here.
For the invite. That is nice.
Yeah.
I appreciate me, getting that invite to your spot. That's great.
No, well, you can come over anytime you want. I mean, the door is open. I mean, the security probably won't let you up, but the door is always open. It's always open for you, Lance.
Okay.
So there's that. Some things that happen here. My piece today on Sports Map, and it will be tweeted out shortly, I'm sure, by Mr. Fred Fowler, who will be here later today. All the shows are going to be out here. My piece today is I apologize to the Rockets organization because I have made more than a few times the statement that the Rockets are in James Harden purgatory.
Uh-huh.
They're not in hell. They're not in NBA hell, but they'll never get to NBA heaven. And I was wrong. I admit I was wrong. Now, this iteration is the best iteration that Daryl Morey has put together, but you got to give Daryl Morey credit for that as well. Daryl Morey deserves the credit for being able to recognize that Corey Brewer is not the answer. Oh, wait, we need guys that can knock down shots from outside. We need we need athletic guys that are actually good defensive players. P.J. Tucker, Bamute, Chris Paul, excellent, excellent additions to this basketball team. And Daryl Morey deserves all the credit. And James Harden seems like a different player. And that's what the gist of my article is. Today, there is an article out here that's here's what it says. Haters gonna hate. Animosity toward Rockets and Harden grows as wins pile up. This is a normal thing, though, in America today. The more you win, the more you're gonna be hated.
Well, it's changed. You know, it didn't used to be. You remember, there wasn't a lot of hatred towards Michael Jordan. There was fear. There was appreciation.
No, right.
And then there was a healthy fear of him. But it wasn't hate. Now, success just breeds hate.
Yeah.
I mean, but the Rockets, but James Harden has always been that guy because he gets a ton of foul calls.
Right.
He takes a ton of free throws where he baits guys into fouls. You know, he has in the past. I get it. The Rockets, in general, have not been a very likable team in years past with Pat Beverly, who we loved. But if you're on the other team, you don't like Pat Beverly.
No.
No one's liked Dwight Howard ever.
No.
Except in Orlando in his early years. And then you have James.
We didn't like Dwight Howard here either.
But I think James, I don't think James's play is unlikable. Like, he doesn't do D-bag stuff and things like
that. No, but he's a guy who stops the ball. sits outside, does his all of his,
but
his stuff.
But kids, but they love it because he.
Well,
makes
the kids
moves.
Love it, but yeah. I don't think adults are all that crazy about it.
I mean, if you're not crazy about 30 points a game,
no.
It's not like he's
yeah, but
it's not like Allen Iverson just firing up 50 shots indiscriminately.
No, I get that. Was Allen Iverson beloved?
No, he wasn't. But a lot of that was.
No,
you
right.
know, he
all
changed
the other
the
stuff.
Culture of the league.
No,
yeah.
All the other stuff.
Yeah.
But I can start. Hey, the way that James Harden plays basketball, I could see people. Even here, my point with James Harden in the article today is he was probably the most unlikable star that we've had here in Houston. Well, certainly the one that we have, J.J. Watt, Deshaun, Correa, Altuve, of all those guys. Harden is probably the least likable.
Be real.
But now,
let me ask you a real question.
I think that is changing.
But let me ask you a real question. His game hasn't changed at all. He's playing the same way. Assist, drive, threes.
He's a lot more careful. He seems to have more urgency.
Same turnover numbers.
Well, he seemed not to be as – he's not as flippant with the basketball right now. He's just not. He may have the same turnover numbers, but he's not – he was a lot wilder and dumber with the basketball than he is now.
I think he had moments, because the numbers are very similar. I think he had moments that were more memorable to you than may have framed
them. And big times.
That's the thing, is the postseason stuff hasn't even gotten here yet.
But even still, in regular season games, it's, oh, James, what the bleep.
Yeah, no, I get that. But James, I mean, I say it too at my house. It's the same. I've had the same feeling. But it doesn't change the fact that the output, the production of James Harden is, you know, historical in some regards.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah,
no. I said now he's a different. He seems like a different guy.
And I think likable and unlikable sometimes has to do with what you hear off the court and stuff like that.
Oh
too.
No, I made the points.
Yeah, okay.
The Moses Malone Jr. His yacht commercial.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think his basketball game is unlikable personally.
No,
I don't.
It's just not. It's not an exciting brand of basketball, though. I mean, when they're moving the ball and they're up and down the court, it's a lot of – when he stops the ball, it's Steven Coutinho to me.
Is it really?
Yes.
They couldn't shoot.
They were the most
inefficient group ever.
Well, listen, they can play a brand of basketball that is tremendous. But, listen, we talked about it yesterday. When they get into the final minutes of the game and they just stop the ball and stand out there and play isolation basketball, oh, my God, is that terrible.
Yeah, it's the way the league has gone.
All right.
You're a perimeter-based team, and you look to match up. It's no different than Baylor football under Art Briles. What I mean by that, or with a lot of teams now, you look to match up the weak link against one of your stronger links, just like how Baylor would have three guys not even go for a pass, and one guy's going a straight nine route down the field, and it's one-on-one. They just look to isolate the weakest link in the herd, and go after them. And that's kind of what basketball is today, is they just try to – you know, what analytics has done is they basically say, let's just give ourselves the best chance to win every time down the court. What is that? Maybe it's playing faster. Maybe it is winning the math game of 3 versus 2. Maybe it's finding the worst defender and trying to create switch opportunities to get him on your best offensive
And defensively,
player.
Maybe it's leaving that guy wide open on the three-point line
because
he ain't going to make it.
You know, it's no different than – it's really no different. You know, the analytics scares people. Analytics is no different than, you know, when baseball pitchers throw certain batters certain pitches because there is a statistical norm of – success slash or for the pitcher, if you throw Craig Biggio a slider away, so you get a book on a pitch. Well, that's analytics. You've got data that shows where he's best and where he's worst, so you attack him where he's worst. And yet, analytics, Charles Barkley, analytics is killing the league.
Mm-hmm.
No, analytics is just giving yourself the best chance to succeed by trying to find what their biggest weakness is. That's all it is.
All right, so. Okay, so let's take
a break. So good. So you've apologized to James Harden, but I feel like there should be some kind of
the Rockets.
Okay. I feel like there should be some kind of little, you know, asterisk where you read down at the bottom and it says John Granato has the right to rewrite this article after the playoffs.
Well, But my point was too. Even if they don't beat the Warriors, I still feel like they're a championship team, and that was my point in it. I don't. You know what? Just because you don't beat the Warriors doesn't mean that this wasn't a great team or a great season.
No. It really was. It's no different than what was going on with the Astros.
Yes. If they would have lost in Game 7 to the Dodgers, would this have been this? I mean, it would have been disappointing, obviously. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that that team was any less.
Right.
And oh, by the way, that Dodgers team is not this Warriors team. This is an historically great NBA team, this Warriors team.
Right.
So it's a different deal. Just like the Jazz walked into the Michael Jordan era, just like the Love You Blue walked into the Steelers era, that was one of my points as well. Just because they don't beat them doesn't mean that this is not a great team.
No.
And not a championship team.
No, and I want to play, we need to break it, but I'm going to play off some of that when we come back here in a second, because there's some more things we need to discuss. So 7:15 here on the bench, 97.5.
Yeah, we are live at Cowboys and Indians right here, taking a break live. And if you want to get in, 713-7, what is that?
780-3776.
Is that it?
Right, Tyler?
Is that our number?
780-3776.
I forget.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Rocket Calls, come on in. Let's get
go.
Some Rocket
Who
Calls.
Who wants to talk
713-780-3776.
Come on.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, John and Lance, and we got the promo crew out here ready to spin the wheel so you can win prizes. Haas is here, and he's making us breakfast quesadillas with eggs and jalapenos and the salsa, and it's unbelievable. If you haven't been here to Cowboys and Indians, you need to get over here, 1901 Taft. Sunrise quesadillas is what they're called. Not that you'll get them any other time, because he's never going to be here at 7 o'clock again. Ever, ever, ever. Dude was like, okay. Thanks, Jordan, for waking me up, making me get up at 5. 4, I appreciate it. So he's here, but if you haven't been to Cowboys and Indians, you need to get here today. Our shows will be here all day long. Great place to watch your games tonight, okay? We got the Ags in action tonight at 6:30. We got Loyola, Nevada, going to be playing at 6, and 6:30 is the Aggie. So if you're looking for – you're an Aggie, right, Haas? You went to A&M? Okay, he went to A&M. So if you – he gave me the – you're a hook'em? A Cougs. Oh, I thought you gave me a hook'em. Oh, you're Cougs. He's a Cougs dude, right? Okay, so the Cougs aren't playing. Oh, well. See what happened to Cougs? Cougs. Yeah, Cougs aren't playing. I don't know if you know that. Okay, I don't know if you saw it. They're not playing anymore. Michigan is moving on, and they're playing. And so anyway, come on over here, 1901 Tap, just south of West Gray. And if you want to hang out with us, anybody that's down here in the neighborhood, you want to stop here for breakfast before you go to work, you're more than welcome to do that at Cowboys and Indians. And it's not offensive. Not if it's the Indians, you know, that like, you know, the Middle Eastern that like curry and stuff. No, I'm not saying that. No, that's not funny. You can say that because I can't say anything about feathers or stuff like that, okay? I can't do that. Here's a plate, Lance, instead of the table.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Rob wants to talk about his Rockets right now on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Rob?
Hey, guys, man. Glad to hear you guys back on the radio. I just tweeted Lance this morning. It's my first time tuning in. Man, I go back.
Where you been, Rob? Playing in parties?
Man, I'm on crutches right now. I can't do anything. I woke up early today, man, just to hear you guys. It's been forever. Lance, you know, I go back from Dimebag Mike, Cujo, Gilbert. Do those guys call?
No, Cujo used to call a little bit when I was at the other station. Dimebag Mike moved to California. We never heard from him again. I don't know where he is.
Oh,
he
man.
Probably dosed right. a couple times.
Last time we heard from him, he blew a bong on the air, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was his goodbye call.
Yeah, that was his goodbye.
Yeah, he took a rip on the air, and that was it. As far as Cujo, I used to hear from him occasionally. It's the same old Cujo now. He hated A.J. Hinch, same way he hated Durker.
I think my favorite memory of you guys is the stripper, star in the cell phone. Star
oh, my gosh.
Back in the day.
You are yeah, back man. In the day. Let me tell y'all this story. Here's how this went down real quick. We got a call on the air. Dude, John, this is like year two.
Huh.
We got a call on the air, and we go, let's go to Melissa. Hi, Melissa. She goes, hi. What do you want to talk about? Just nothing. You're a sports station? Yeah. Okay. Why? Well, my husband, this is his phone. He was in the shower, and I found his numbers, and I found this number, Star, and I thought it was a stripper. Because we were called Star 610
right.
at the time. For whatever reason, that's how your brand is. And she saw Star.
Right.
It just said Star in his
right.
in his contact list, and she thought it was a stripper. So she called, and she was on the air because she thought she was calling a stripper. She thought she had bust her husband. And then the best part of that story is that guy called us back a year later, and he goes, yeah, I just want to let you know my wife who was going through my my phone because she thought I was talking to a stripper. Yeah, I busted her cheating. So we're divorced now. Like, wow. The worm turned on that one.
Good That's step. Yeah.
Crazy,
that
man.
Was an interesting call. What do you want to talk about, Rob?
Well, real quick, man. I'm sick and tired of this fandom with James Harden, man. This guy, he is a regular season Tarzan in a playoff game. I'm sick. I can't stand this dude. I mean, he played no doubt his game is great during the regular season. He's great, but I need to see this dude play big when it matters most. Okay, big time players make big time plays in big time games. This guy has yet to do that. So I'm not a fan of James Harden. Do I want him to succeed? Yes, but I'm not a fan of him and his stupid beard. Like, this year he has impressed me. I feel good about this, but at the end of the day, man, I'm a Rockets fan. I'm from Houston. I'm all about the team, but I just don't see this guy being able to do it, nut check, in when it matters most in the playoffs. I just don't see it. I just feel that, you know, Golden State is still the team to beat. They've shown that they can play big when it matters, and they don't. So just hate to burst the Rockets fans' bubbles. It ain't happening, man. As long as James Harden is on this team, it just isn't happening. And he has to prove otherwise. I'd love to be proven wrong, but I just
Rob,
don't see it, man.
I've agreed with you, and I felt the exact sentiments. I feel like James didn't give a rat's ass, you know, in game six, the 12 turnovers in game five against Golden State. Elimination James has been crap. I almost said a bad word. James has been crap. He was crap in Oklahoma City against Miami right. in the finals at the end there as well. And you're right, but I just feel like this is a different guy this year. I just feel like something has changed in him, and maybe he's got the confidence with Chris Paul. Maybe he feels like the team around him is exactly what he has needed. Maybe he's grown up. Maybe a lot of – I don't know what it is. I just feel like this is a different guy.
I don't think James has changed. I think they've done a good job of changing the surroundings to better allow him to be a straight – look, you don't want to put – James is a scorer, but if you don't put the right guys around him,
yeah.
I think he defaults to lazy defense.
Well, there you go.
Stuff.
He changed. Though.
I think Morey
he's changed.
I think because Morey put the right pieces around him. They're not going to win you over. Well, first of all, are you a Rocket fan? Yes. Or
yes.
No?
He said he's been a
Rocket. Okay. Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So absolutely. They're not going to win you over then until they beat Golden State anyway. So there's nothing, even though they're on their way to 65 wins or whatever. They're not going to win you over, chances are, until they win.
Teams have won, regular season teams have won more games than that and lost in the championship. My thing is this, I don't trust him with the ball in his hand when the game is on the line.
He's got to earn it.
He's got to earn it.
You know
what?
And you're absolutely right. He hasn't shown you any reason yet, but I think, I don't know why. This is a different change. Rob, we got to take it there. We got to cut it
there.
Right, we appreciate
it. You guys.
Thanks for checking back in, man.
Yeah, great. Thanks for being back here. Let's catch up. We are live at Cowboys and Indians, 1901 Taft. Want you to come by. Want you to hang out with us. We're going to be here all day long as we get ready for the big tournament continuing today, the Sweet 16. Starting at 6, but, yeah, get here early. I mean, you want to be just stinky drunk by the time these games start. So
what?
Get over here.
You don't have to get drunk all the time.
Why would you not?
You always tell people they have to be drunk.
Well, why?
Stinky drunk by the time that anything begins.
Yes. That's the only way to watch stuff.
This has nothing to do with anything. Can you tell people which college football games you like to go to with your wife?
LSU.
Okay.
All
thank
right.
you.
There you go. Yeah. But you don't think
closed.
Everybody.
I know. That's your only. You move down here, marry Wendy.
Yeah.
Then you start going to LSU games, and now you're like,
wait a minute.
I think you have to be stinky drunk before games.
Do you think I didn't get stinky drunk before games before I met Wendy? Yeah. Okay. Slow down. Slow down. You can't give her all the credit.
Hashtag credit.
Credit. Time for me to talk. Hey, listen. And you know what? Bet everything you have because you know who's going to win tonight. Okay? I would bet it all on the Aggies if I was, truth be told. What are they catching? 4.5? Two and a half? I think 2.5. The Aggies are catching 2.5 tonight. Not only are they going to cover, they're going to win straight up. Bet the money line. You can do that at mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag has all the wagers you could possibly want. Prop bets, in-game gambling, everything that you could want. It is awesome. Don't bet parlays. Anything that you want to do gambling-wise, you got it at mybookie.ag. Put in promo code radio and they'll match 50% of your initial deposit at mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag, if you want to play, this is the place to go because they pay. If you're looking for a great way to get your money when you win, it's mybookie.ag. Promo code radio, mybookie.ag.
Yes, sir. You know I got to get paid.
This is a RickersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We are live at Cowboys and Indians here on Taft Street. It's a fusion. It's Indian food. It's not fusion. It's fusion.
Yeah,
it's
America and it's India.
Yeah. It's not like culturally insensitive. I feel like we have to keep making sure.
And why
sure
is that culturally?
Well, you know what? People listen to this show, and especially you, they're not going to be
have
super
I ever
have
been
their
culturally insensitive?
Yes,
ever?
A lot. I wish Del were here.
He will be.
Hey, I wish
listen.
Del were here.
Oh, yeah, but here's the deal. Apparently, the owner, Haas, is from Cleveland. Because he thinks James Harden is in the freaking MVP race.
Not James Harden, LeBron.
I mean, LeBron James is in the MVP race.
Now LeBron Now LeBron.
Oh, LeBron lover. Why don't you get – where's your Cleveland
you see,
hat?
Haas, this is what he does. He takes a tiny snippet and will turn it
what
into
What did you
a,
just say? LeBron's in the race.
Yeah. He's pushing. He's
from Ohio?
But look, LeBron did have 17 assists and no turnovers yesterday, which is pretty good. And – LeBron also has averaged a triple-double over the last 25 games. So he is making a little push. And you know the national media who are just hang from his sack can't wait to vote for LeBron any chance they get. I'll bet you it's – you know what?
Know.
You know who's not number two?
There's
Damian
little,
Lillard is not going to be number two. LeBron is going to be number two.
I don't know. I sense a little LeBron backlash at times.
From Twitter, maybe.
Well, and because he's so corny. And he did his workout videos. Of course, James did that last week after, what was it, the Clippers game? He went to Westside Tennis Club, and he started working out and doing sit-ups, and he posted it on his – or whatever, and everybody was like, James.
I feel like James is probably clowning somebody.
No, James was like, oh, look, I work hard. Stop. Everybody works hard. Okay?
I have a feeling Haas is about to call
us.
I have a feeling Haas is about to call us on the air. I just saw him walk out with – he's in the phone. I think he's about to argue your point with you so he can actually be on the air. Don't worry, Haas.
Right.
He treats everyone like that where he puts you in the blender with a tiny thing you say and he misconstrues it. LeBron is playing good basketball. He's not the MVP.
No.
Period.
That's ridiculous.
James, the MVP. And I want to mention this, too. One of the reasons that I made the comment I did about Morey, not thinking it was a lock that Lunoa had of Morey, just meaning I think they're both really, really great, is Morey has consistently found ways to make the Rockets a 50-win team and keep them in competition. Yeah. Now, players have to play. I'm a firm believer that GMs put rosters together. That's their job.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot that goes into that. Cap, free agency, draft, a lot that goes into it.
Evaluation.
Evaluation. Coaches have to put players in the position to succeed through strategy and, you know, through game philosophy. And then players have to execute. I always think that it's kind of dumb to say, well, Daryl Morey hasn't gotten pet. Like, yeah, you know who else hasn't? The players. Like, you've got it. The players have to actually handle their business. He can't make – Daryl's not the guy who turned it over 12 times against the Golden State or went in a total tank in Game 6 against Antonio. Well, he put him on the – yeah, he did bring
– well, but
James Harden is the reason that they have been in the one seed, the two
exactly
seed, the
right.
two seed.
That's exactly right. But again – point being, previously to this, was you're in purgatory because you're right in the middle. He can't get you over the top.
So I don't think it's middle, though. I think it was
– it's above average.
Purgatory
is you're right. You're in limbo, waiting to go to heaven, only you can't get to the pearly gates. You're in limbo. That's what purgatory is.
See, I think when I think of purgatory, me personally in sports, I think of teams like that have Matt Stafford, where you have quarterbacks that you have to pay a ton, and they're pretty good, but they don't really have an impact on winning. But you can't do without them. And I see what you're saying. I just never felt like – I feel like the Rockets are clearly not super far away, but I did have frustration with, like, how are you going to – if James doesn't have championship DNA, I don't think he has to have championship DNA as long as the right pieces are around.
Well, we found that out.
And I think
now, we didn't know that until this year, though.
I think Morey –
because just like Rob said – I've been watching, and in the playoffs, he disappoints us. But we didn't. But
did
now,
you see this even potentially a possibility just because they had – I heard P.J. Tucker. What? Like, oh.
Yeah.
Luke,
no,
Bob,
really,
Bute.
Did you?
No,
oh.
I didn't see
I
those.
Love P.J. I've always
you
loved
You love
P.J.
him.
Tucker.
You thought he was the difference between being where they were and
I love 56? His intensity. I've hated playing – for his entire career, I've hated when the Rockets had to play
but
P.J. Tucker.
But what I'm saying is they didn't have guys – that look like ace player. The thought is, well, you got to have stars. You got to have stars. You don't have to have – you have to have an alpha like Chris Paul who really takes winning extremely seriously, and then this is cue people to say, what about what he's done at the Clippers? And like,
yeah.
Dude, it doesn't change his approach to the game and how much he wants to win and loves to win.
And that wasn't the right situation. Well, when they got – here's my reaction to Chris Paul was, what the bleep? Two guys that have to have the ball.
Yeah.
And they're going to fist fight at midcourt.
Were you wrong?
I was wrong.
I was wrong, too. I
admitted it.
I said, how are you going to share? And that's why I give Daryl Morey credit. Because now I think I've been right on some of the issues he's had with team chemistry. I think sometimes maybe chemistry wasn't at the top of his board and he just wanted to aggregate good basketball players. But Daryl Morey understood what would work. He understood that PJ – here's the most important thing they did. The most important thing they did was adding Tucker and Bamute to Ariza, and they have three – and then Gerald Green – there's four players who can switch defensively against the Golden State Warriors and play multiple positions. That means it's harder to isolate weak defenders in bad matchups. They've gotten more athletic, they've gotten longer, and they've gotten tougher on defense. This is a team that regularly holds teams under 100 points. That never, ever happened under Kevin McHale or Mike D'Antoni. That is all roster composition, which has changed the attitude and the mindset on the team. And then I think you have to give Jeff Bezdilic deserves a ton of credit, the defensive mastermind for the Rockets, because he almost lost his mind. Like, Kelvin Sampson did a great job
I think that guys have made a huge – because I don't know. Kelvin Sampson was great, too. I think Sampson's a great coach and probably would have gotten a lot of the same results if he had these players.
No. I think Kelvin Sampson did a great job when he did have the Rockets. They played better defense until he left. Bezdilic has got them playing good defense now, too. These guys are buying in five at a time defensively. Like, I can't even believe what I'm seeing where guys, the closeouts, James Harden is closing people out. He's contesting shots.
He's good in the low post defensively.
Yeah, he's physical. I mean, he's a rare body type.
Yep.
It's hard. Bernard King is one of the only guys I can think of that had James's body type. And you got to go, I'm talking, that's 1980s basketball to find Bernard King with the, and he was a small forward. James is a big, barrel-chested, thick, strong guy with surprising burst to the basket. Like, surprising burst to the basket. And when I watch him, all I can think about is when I watch, you know, draft stuff with wide receivers who understand how to get open based on how they run their routes and things like that. Because James creates openings based on stutter steps, route stems. It's the same thing as with wide receivers.
And when he's got,
he reads your hips. And if he sees a small advantage,
any kind of advantage, he
and
takes
he's that. Got the juice to get by you.
That's right. And he's got the ability to hit that shot.
You know who his
over
favorite
you.
Team is?
James Harden's?
Football.
Football, his favorite football team? New England?
Nope.
The who greatest show on turf?
Who would he grow up with? No. Who did he grow up with? His squad would be, he's grew up on the West Coast. But he's probably a little bit
Raiders?
Of, he's probably a little bit of a bandwagon guy.
Who?
49ers.
Oh, the, yeah, okay.
Yeah, they would have been
the
good
Bill
back
Walsh
then.
49ers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when he grew up, there was no L.A. football teams, I guess. Maybe the Raiders at some point. Yeah. Yeah, the Raiders would have been there.
I could see the greatest show on turf, too.
But he was a San Francisco 49er.
Maybe.
Fan.
Yep.
West Coast. Yeah, no, I think Joel Blank's talked about it before.
CJ says, we've known CJ forever. I agree 1,000% with that previous caller. I've seen this James MVP movie before and know how it ends. Yeah, hey, listen.
He's done similar
until James
stuff.
Proves differently, I can't – you know what? I can't argue that. I believe that this is a different James. That's what the article is. If you want to go see it, go to sportsmap.com and check out the article. I believe that this is a different James, but I certainly can see that opinion where people are wait and see. I'm waiting on it. And this whole season has been, well, let's see what they do in the playoffs. I get it because until James gets over that playoff, that elimination James hump, this is his legacy now. This right now, his legacy is great player, great regular season player,
right.
And he gags in the postseason.
But you gave him the credit, and all I've tried to do is just, I don't think sports talk is any fun if all we do is sit there and we're miserable until the end of the playoffs, and the only way we're happy is if they won a championship.
Yeah.
It's okay to talk about, like, this is a record-breaking season for him. They had 21, how many wins did they get to, 21? No, they didn't. They got to 17, 18. That's right.
Yeah.
The record was 22 for the Rockets.
Right.
But
well, that,
they're 22 and 1
win
now.
Percentage, and they're going to get to however many, over 60 wins for the first time ever. They had the best record ever. First time ever. They had the best record in the league at the All-Star break. This is the first time ever they're going to have the best record in the league at the end of the season. This is an historic season for the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
It's great. It's awesome. We can enjoy it. However, everybody's taking it with a grain of salt.
Well, you
I get that, though.
But you apologize.
I apologize.
You can read John's article. My article is how Daryl Morey, how he refueled the Rockets. But I tried to teach Daryl a little lesson. Hopefully he reads my Sports Map article, because I told him this is how you can finish it. It's great that you started it. Let Lance come in and be the closer. If they're smart, they'll let me come in and take over for D'Antoni.
Yeah, I saw your article.
If they're smart, I will come in and take over for
D'Antoni.
I read your
article, and yeah, you make a lot of good points about what they have to do. But I don't think you should take over if you want to know the truth. Well, I don't think Daryl Morey is just going to go with D'Antoni and Bezdelic.
I mean, good luck if you look at his winning percentage in second round.
You know what? Ken makes a good point. Did we not say the same thing about Bagwan Bishop at one time? We absolutely did. 1998. They acquired Randy Johnson, thought that was the best team in the league. It absolutely was going into the postseason, and they gagged. They failed against San Diego.
Look at all the tweets are all negative.
I know.
And the calls.
But until they prove otherwise.
No, I get it. I get it. But we were saying the same thing about Astros. Same old Houston team. Houston curse. After everything went down and they, you know, remember, everything looked like it was falling completely apart, and it wasn't until the very end of the season where they got jump-started, and you said, well, no, wait a minute. Maybe the season isn't over.
Well,
hold on a second.
They're playing New York. I heard sports talk show hosts, hey, why did they even make the playoffs? They're making my pee pee hurt. They're just going to lose.
Oh, my God. That was the worst tweet of all time.
What a puss.
Anyway. Everything about them is the worst thing ever. This is the most Houston thing ever. I wish you wouldn't even make the playoffs when they win a World Series.
Whatever.
I say you don't say things like that. The ups and the downs are what makes sports. It's good to have ups and downs.
Yeah.
If the Rockets win a championship, all that heartbreak from the San Antonio game and the Golden State elimination game and all that stuff, it makes the success a lot sweeter. I mean, the same way when the Rockets won their championships, when they had the disaster in 92 when they lost the tip-in, you know, with Seattle, they missed, Kenny Smith missed a wide-open jumper against Seattle. And, you know, all the times you came up short, it makes it better, I think.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776.
I thought Jesus said you can't eat quesadillas on Thursday during Lent. That's not what he said, Art.
No. Jesus never said
tomorrow.
Don't eat. There were no quesadillas.
Yeah.
Although they probably had that unleavened bread there.
Yeah, actually.
They probably did.
They probably,
I don't know.
Eggs on fire?
It
That's
was
not
long
the
after
thing in
Jesus
the world.
I
don't know if they had pepper and butter on it necessarily.
And jalapenos?
Like we have, but,
I'm not sure they had jalapenos.
I'm not sure they had sliced
Israel.
Or a chutney.
I'm not sure.
Or a chutney sauce.
But I know what they sure do. What they didn't have there, they didn't have James Hardy plank either. Jesus never had that.
MVP. MVP.
No, it's James Hardy, not James Harden plank.
Well,
you
that
get
next,
that wrong.
Yeah, I know.
It's the trim, the overhang, the entire siding, starting at $150 a month, only at Allied Siding and Windows. Can anyone else tell you that you can start, you could get the siding, the trim, and overhang starting at $150 a month? No one else can say that. No one else will tell you 100% financing, zero down, zero interest for 18 months. No one. They're going to want you to put something down. No one else is going to tell you a $500 Amazon certificate with a whole home siding purchase. How about that? That's a little free $500, okay? No high-pressured sales pitch, just a free estimate when they come to your home. Just give them a call, 713-WINDOWS, 713-WINDOWS. Prorated. Non-prorated 30-year warranty as well. James Hardy plank, if you haven't seen it, go see it. There's over 14,000 colors that you can choose from. That's a lot. That seems like a lot. It seems like it's going to be difficult to choose just one, but you're going to have to. And these pros will help you do that. They'll come to your home and look at exactly what you need, and they're going to get it there, and they're going to do their job perfectly. Otherwise, they ain't leaving your house. You know what? They've never had to stay somewhere forever either. So they got it done every single time perfectly. 713-WINDOWS, 713-946-3697. Allied Siding and Windows, affordable, local, reliable. 713-WINDOWS.
Did I get what I deserve? So give me reason. Welcome to the good life.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You're probably just going to kiss Daryl Morey's ass, Lance. Let's get some calls in here. We got a bunch of callers want to talk about the Rockets while Lance just kisses Daryl Morey's ass. Let's get – who is it? Charles next or Steve? Oh, Steve-O dropped. Let's get Charles in here. Charles, you're on. What's going on, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. I've been listening to the show since I got in the car. Let me start my small rant by saying, first of all, I love my city. I love where I'm from. With that being said, like, it bothers me, like, to my core to be associated with a fan base that, I guess, over time, you know, got so used to misery that they can't even let themselves enjoy when something's good is happening to the teams in their city. You got the Astros won a world championship for the first time ever. You got the Rockets on pace to have the greatest season in franchise history if they could book in the way they played this season with a championship, and you finally got a decent general manager ahead of your football team. Yeah, all we can find is reasons to complain and doubt, as if the opinions of the national media shape the narrative of what you think about your team. With that being said, what I would tell the caller that called in with all the James hate is that's fine. If you want to be upset and not like how the season ended last year, but there's a such thing as actually looking up numbers to back up the claims that you're making. Oh, he just disappears, or he's just a great regular season player. When guys' numbers improve in the playoffs, then, you know, hey, you have to look around them sometimes and see, okay, who else lifted their plate? because they've been paid to play basketball the same way, talking about the teammates. I know for a fact, when he had that 12 turnover game in the Western Conference Finals, mind you, against the Golden State Warriors, he happened to be playing on the team with a 38-year-old point guard and a 39-year-old point guard trying to chase around MVP Steph Curry. Okay, so James has the handle of the ball 100% of the time, and it didn't go so well for him. But we're not going to talk about the circumstances surrounding him having to shoulder such a load and then playing with a co-star who basically never bought into what they wanted to do a franchise. And he's playing with no help.
But I will say, that's one of the things that does go on Maury on his ticket, because you brought a guy in who didn't click with James. And granted, sometimes you got to take those chances when you had a chance to – because Dwight at that time was coming off 1 year – of injury with L.A., and he didn't click with L.A. So you get him in, and you're not thinking, oh, he's going to always have injuries. And actually, he was really good his first year, and then the knee crept up, and then it was like there was a lot of issues.
But wait a minute. But I think, in fairness to Rob, who called earlier, and I felt the same. Listen, he's a superstar. He's got to rise above. He's got to be the guy that makes everybody around him better. And James sucked in elimination games.
Right.
You know, in
that's
the postseason, you're absolutely right. If you put in the article, I said elimination James. In the postseason, James Harden has been a good
regular
player.
Season.
In the postseason, he's been a good player. In elimination games, he has not. He has got and Jeff Van Gundy made the point. Oh, why are those the most important games? He got you to game. He got you to the Western Conference Finals. He got you to the second round. He got you to. And oh, by the way, does anybody remember Game One against San Antonio and the way that he played? But everybody remembers Game Six. So James is not a bad postseason player. He's a bad elimination game player.
I think he's still been a little up and down in postseasons.
Up and down with elimination games.
He's been bad in elimination games. That's one of the reasons they've become elimination games. But if you look at him postseason-wise with the Houston Rockets, he shot less than 32% from the three-point line in three of the 5 years that he's been in the playoffs. That's pretty terrible for a guy who shoots a lot. I want to big up Charles for something he said. Houston is so miserable, and even the Astros, who give us that hope again, we still can't get out of our, you know, out of our. We're like the wife or the girlfriend on Cops. Hey, it's okay to have fun during a regular season, and to enjoy a season. We don't have to be miserable all the time. Yeah, we all know. What are we arguing about? Is anyone arguing that James Harden doesn't have to play more consistently in the playoffs? Is anyone arguing that the Rockets have to prove that they can finally get over the hump that is the Golden State Warriors? I don't know anybody who argues that. That's not something anyone's arguing. I think the point that we are such a miserable city sometimes when it comes to our cynicism because of how many times the rug has been pulled out from under us, and it's a substantial amount of times as a sports fan base, especially if you're over the age of 35.
Yeah.
You understand where we're coming from, but however, it's okay to enjoy historic seasons. That's what the Astros had last year offensively, and that's what made it very heartbreaking to me that they didn't do anything at the deadline, because why would you waste an historic offensive performance by not strengthening that team where it was most weak? And of course, after the hurricane, they ended up adding Verlander in trade deadline two.
Yeah. Which
won the World Series for?
Back to playoff James. In the last 5 years, he's averaged 26.3.
Look at his shooting.
26.3, 26.8, 27.2, 26.6, 28.5. Okay.
He shot a ton. Look how bad he shot.
His three-point percentage in his playoff career, 335.
No, don't look at Oklahoma City. Look at the Rockets. 335 is not
good. At Oklahoma City, his averages were only 7.7, 13.0, and 16.3.
For the Rockets, it's 32% from three. And in the field, it's been 41%. That's bad, John. 41% in the playoffs for the Rockets and 32% from the three-point line is really bad, and then turnovers are 4.7 to 7.1. He's not even 2-1.
Okay, in the playoffs, yeah, he's had three bad playoffs, but he averaged 41% from three, 34% from three, 38% from three as well in three of the six.
He's not, again, the elimination games have been horrific, but he's not been a bad postseason player. He's not Tracy McGrady.
I think he's been below. McGrady elevated his game. Harden's game has gone down relative to his regular season numbers.
And in large part because of a few, maybe more than a few, bad games.
I think he gets tight.
Well, I do, too.
And I don't think
Charles,
it's
we
got to
cut it there. We're up against it. We're at Cowboys and Indians, 1901 Taft. We need you to get on out here and hang with us. Haas is here, and he said, come on, if you want to eat breakfast, he's got a
I'll make breakfast for you if you're in the area.
Sunrise quesadilla.
Yep.
He said he'd do it.
And we got stuff we're giving away, too, actually.
Yeah, we're giving all stuff away. This is where we're going to be today. And the bar is open. Again, you can't be drunk all day unless you start in the morning. So get here and start.
You're such a terrible role model for our listeners.
If the kids are in the car, bring them here. And let's start.
Don't bring them here.
Let's go.
No, don't start drinking.
Get
with your
kids.
Get
the kids started early.
Don't drink with
your
kids.
So they don't
the
waste
car.
Their time.
Don't listen to the bad man on the radio with the vest.
So
kids.
They don't waste their time
the
and feel like their lives are worthless sober their whole lives.
Get them to school. BillAdvisor.com is who I want to talk about. Get your kids to school, parents. Don't bring them to a bar in the morning. That says me. Yeah, says me. I also say to call Bill Advisor. I say to text Bills to 313131 and to let them start saving you on, home, auto, the home and auto insurance. I had never made the switch over with them. The first time I checked, I couldn't save. Then they made some tweaks with the companies they work with, and before you knew it, I saved $700 on home and auto. I called again, and they said, yeah, this is what we can save for you. Actually, I texted money to 313131. When you text money to 313131, they'll ask what your address is. You text it back, and within 10 to 12 seconds, they will send another text back that says this is what your homeowner's insurance should be, and you can go back and forth on what the coverage, you know, for what amount you want it covered. But generally speaking, I ended up getting more coverage for less money for my homeowner's insurance. Well, they do the same thing with internet, home phone, cell phone, energy, home security, all of those things. Of course, satellite and cable as well. So make sure that you get a hold of my friends at Bill Advisor and let them lower your bill. It's one low monthly fee. We're talking about $12.99 a month. And if they don't save you $150 on your first three bills, they'll give you $150 back, and they'll give you an Amazon gift card on top of that. But let me tell you something. You usually are going to save that in your first bill. Go to BillAdvisor.com. That's BillAdvisor.com. Or text BILLS to 313131. Unless you want to get a homeowner's quote, and then you text money to 313131.